This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. There are so many different aspects of dealing with getting through our current situation with the wildfires and the very long road to recovery ahead. We're covering it from a lot of different vantage points. And State Senator Floyd Przanski with us this afternoon. Floyd, thanks for being on.
Kyle, thank you very much. Hope you're doing well today.
Well, have you been able to tour any of the damaged areas yet yourself?
I have not. Unfortunately, as much as I've tried to get up, we also need to respect all of the activity that's been going on. My hope is later this week or this weekend I'll be able to make the first trip of many up to the Holiday Farm fire, and then I also want to get down to the Archie Creek fire as well.
And anyone who's gone through it, and I got to do it just a couple of days after the landowners were able to go back and see their properties, the devastation is almost hard to grapple. It looks at points like, I think I said yesterday, a set out of a bad movie. And it is very clear that this is not something that's anywhere near an easy fix.
And it isn't. No, the one opportunity I have had with some of our displaced residents on the Holiday Farm fire, there was a private meeting with a select group of individuals from the upriver on the McKenzie area in the corridor that took place this past Saturday with our two U.S. Senators, Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley. And as one of the senators who represents that area, I was able to participate in that listening session. And just hearing the stories and understanding the frustrations that they have as to not being fully informed. We had an issue in the greater Lane County area where some of the families that had been relocated to hotels were basically given notice, like with less than 24-hour notice, that they were going to have to leave the hotels. And there was no preparation for anyone even telling them that when they were checking in, thinking that they had a secure place. Now, that has all been worked out. The Red Cross is the point that agency that was doing that work, and their third-party vendor apparently had not crossed the T's and dotted the I's. We now have national-level Red Cross people in the state or were in the state last week taking care of those type of issues that, you know, just compounds the tragedy that so many people have faced.
We know that officials from the Federal Emergency Management Agency have been around the state. There are some up in Glide until 7 o'clock today, available to talk to displaced residents at the high school. No appointments are needed for that. People can simply show up, and if they haven't already done so, kind of find the pathway to applying for some potential help from FEMA. With FEMA being around the state, with every community, I'm sure east of Springfield, it's much like here, different groups that were already in existence, and sometimes groups that came together really quickly, have been working hard to do the initial things to help people out with food and clothes and things like that. How do you feel like this phase things are going?
I think overall it's going well, and I say that with some hesitation, but the hesitation is because having four catastrophic fires simultaneously going on, it really, really, really has stretched so many resources across the state. And so that just needed to kind of get coordinated a little bit better. And I agree with you, Kyle. It's just amazing to me how well our communities have come together, individuals as well as groups within those communities, to help out and give a lending hand. And the overwhelming number of donations that have been given, I saw some of the footage at the Glide as to how much intake they had and how much they basically had not been able to distribute out, but they're going to take the safeguards of how to properly store and make certain those items are available. You know, part of the stuff that we are going to be working on, I know we'll have some time to probably to talk about it today, is how these wildfire recovery teams in the different regions, as well as the Governor's Council, will be working and interfacing directly with the communities and these recovery teams. That I think is very, very important for individuals to understand that there will be opportunities for them to actually present and be heard from community members on the recovery teams on the regional side, and then those matters will also be taken up on a statewide council.
In some ways, the Archie Creek fire poses some issues that maybe you don't have, where you might have a place like the Phoenix Talent fires, where much of that area is essentially housing developments, subdivisions, etc. Here you've got houses spread all over the place, many with very large parcels, 50, 100 acres and more, and there's one house, and then the next 50, 100 acres, there's another house, things like that. One of the aspects here is going to be infrastructure. Even homes that have survived, and I know this has been the case east of Springfield, I suspect it is in the Archie Creek fire, maybe the house survived, maybe the property survived, but maybe the septic doesn't work anymore. Maybe the power is still out to that area, or the cell tower's out. And so there's a lot of aspects like that.
There are, and I think I want to start with the last one that you said. To me, is the most important thing that we have to have in place is communication systems. Those communities, communication systems need to be for individuals to be able to do their business on a day-to-day basis, but also for emergencies. As of this last Saturday, when we're having this private meeting with the residents, it was we were informed that they still do not have 911 coverage in the Upper McKenzie River area. On Saturday, they had hoped, based on the people, that they would have that done by the end of that day. I'm assuming that has now happened, because I've not gotten any word that that hasn't occurred. But to me, the communication is so vital. And then the other part I think is real important is in each of these communities where this has occurred, what is still available for community gathering? We need to make certain that we have places where individuals who resided in those areas have a place to be able to come, have fellowship with their neighbors, and also have a point where we, the individuals who are trying to provide services, go to them to provide those services, and not trying to put more taxing burden on them needing to come, quote-unquote, into the valley to get assistance. So to me, those are key parts that we need to do. And you are right. There are a lot of things that we need to be working on. I do know that the utilities throughout the state, and I'll just say within Senate District 4, so that's the two fires that we've mentioned, have been working nonstop to ensure that they get utilities back up. They're doing the assessments to ensure that the structures that are standing are safe for people to go back into. But I think the big question that we have to face is for each community needs to be addressed on a individual basis for need. We can't just cookie cutter and say, well, okay, we're going to bring in all these quote-unquote trailers and just stick them in one location. I think it's going to be a combination of having some type of a group setting where you could potentially have temporary housing while individuals are rebuilding on their property, because they don't have room for a trailer to be on their property at the same time as they're rebuilding. And then at the same time, ensuring for those who have the room that maybe have some type of accommodation of some type of temporary shelter, i.e. a trailer that would be available for them on their own property while they're doing and addressing those issues. Now, I'm going to go two different directions here, because I think it's very important for everyone to understand you do have individuals that have insurance. Those individuals will be working through their insurance companies and hopefully will be taken and made whole. We do have a number of citizens, unfortunately, who do not have insurance coverage, who will, in fact, be relying on FEMA and other resources to get their lives back together. And that's part of the things that I feel that we as a community have already stepped up and shown that we are willing to help out. And I know there are many people who have not been directly impacted, but who really want to get out there and help their neighbors. And so that will be another major coordination. So on the long term of how do we clean up the properties? And one of the things I do want to stress is that we're in the process right now in Lane County to do what will be a cleanup throughout that fire area. It's many individuals have wanted to take it upon themselves to do the cleaning. But the issue is we have hazardous materials that is now unfortunately on their land that needs to be disposed of properly. And then you have what they have referred to as ash trash, meaning non-hazardous material that also needs to be dealt with. some individuals were thinking about maybe just digging a big hole and just putting it in there, and that's the last thing you want to do, because that will in fact come back to bite you in multiple ways, including even your water tables and surface water issues as to and leakage into your water systems in rural areas. So we want to make certain this is done appropriately and properly. I do know here in Lane County, and I believe in every county, that they're setting up a process that they will actually, with the opt-in from a landowner, go onto the property, and they, meaning the government, will actually clean the property and dispose of the waste properly, and there will be no cost to the individual landowner. And even though we'd like to have this done yesterday, of course, that planning has to take place. And what we were told on Saturday, they expect to have some type of a plan within 2 weeks to be able to start implementing.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. State Senator Floyd Prezansky with us. The interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. Inside Douglas County at 1246 from News Radio 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, News Radio 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming up at 1. Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show is ahead at 4 o'clock. And coming up tomorrow on Inside Douglas County, hear from the FEMA official in charge of the recovery from the Oregon wildfires. He is the federal coordinating officer, Dolph Dimont, scheduled to be on the program tomorrow. State Senator Floyd Prezansky here. We're talking about the long recovery process for the wildfire situation. One big need is replacement housing. This is not where you stay at the relatives for a couple weeks and then be able to go back probably a couple of years for a lot of folks, maybe before rebuilding can take place, especially the more rural you get. We've already got a housing shortage. I mean, it could be a very long time before rebuilding could start because of the infrastructure issues. What is there that could be done?
Well, I think this is one of those questions that's going to have to take a really big group effort to determine what is best for each individual, and that can be accommodated. I mean, as you mentioned, many people in rural areas, they have obligations, of course, with their ranch or their farm, that they need to be on site. And so I think the type of housing that is available for them could be different for someone else that doesn't have those type of obligations. And it is one of those situations that is going to take time for the rebuild and build out. I will say that I know that the governor has already put out some directives to ensure that people are working within the process of the counties as to for rebuilding, getting the plans in. There is some concern as to making certain that individuals stay within the footprint of what they had before versus what might come after that. I think those are issues that are going to have to be dealt with on the local level at the county specifically, as well as potentially, I'll just say at the county, because I think that's pretty much where we're at for the two fires that we have to deal with compared to what's happening down in southern Oregon. One of the things that I mentioned briefly, and I think it's worth bringing out, Kyle, is that the governor does have the Wildfire Economic Recovery Council. This is a statewide program. It will be made up of multiple people. It will have lawmakers, of course. It will have agency heads or directors for various state agencies, and there will be different people, point people from different regions and individual communities that will make up that council. Now, I was approached about being on that council. I opted to stay with one of the regional teams because I felt I could do more for my constituents at the local level instead of being on a very large, maybe 50 to 60 people council. And so that's where I'm going to be focusing my time. But there will be coordination between the different regional solution teams, as well as what's happening on this Economic Recovery Council and such. So to me, those are really important aspects that we need to ensure that we have local representation. And I feel that we need to have individuals who were directly affected on these groups, because that, how else can you understand and actually work through these type of issues without that type of input?
Are the cleanup costs being shared across various levels of government, or does this maybe vary depending on your location?
Well, I don't know. I can only speak for what I've heard for the Lane County as to what's happening with the Holiday Farm fire, and I'm assuming this is being extrapolated across the state. But what has been shared with us this last Saturday is that the plan will be in place, they think, in about 2 weeks. At that point, they'll be able to have the teams and crews that will be government-funded to go in and actually do these cleanups at different locations. Now, what the way it was explained to me is that individual landowners will be able to opt in, meaning that they will need to give the government agents permission to come onto their property to actually do the cleaning there. If they are willing to allow for that type of cleanup and process, it was told to me that all of that cleanup would be at no cost to the landowners, and that all of that would be absorbed through the relief that we will be getting through and that we are receiving through FEMA. And so, and one of the things that I briefly mentioned is that as much as people want to, let's say, clear the their land and then try to start rebuilding as soon as possible, there are some, I think, T's that need to be crossed, I's dotted, to make certain that individual landowners don't find themselves in a worse predicament or situation by not going through a regimented process that ensures that they're doing what they need to do correctly and that they're not somehow interfering with their rights that they may have with their insurance and the requirement for maybe having the insurance, if they are insured, going through whatever protocol on their policies to make certain they will get full coverage and reimbursement.
What about, as we look ahead, you know, right now we're in a pretty good weather situation, but we'll get farther into the fall and towards the winter. A lot of concern I'm hearing from public officials, from people in the timber industry and the environmental groups as well, about some of the things that may happen this winter when the more brutal weather comes in and we start having things slide down or trees that were earlier thought to be okay start falling. I mean, a lot of things like this could be happening. We could be dealing with aspects of, for this for the whole winter.
Absolutely, and we will be. I mean, everyone needs to understand this is not something that's just going to be done with. It is going to take time for the land to heal and for things to kind of reconfigure. Now, using 126 as an example, so the McKenzie Highway, they had crews out there 2 days after the fires, or 3 days, I think, after the fires started, to start trying to clear lines and all that just for the emergency vehicles. Of course, that happened even before, so. But with the rain that we just had, that they were watching, they were pretty happy that they didn't see much shifting. But what I understand in some of these areas where the fire did burn, the culverts underneath of the highway are damaged. The rock structure is also damaged in the sense of getting heated up. It's cracked and opened up. And so you're talking about mudslides, rock slides, and as you said, timber that may come down even though they've already been inspected. And I know that they were pulling and dropping trees there where the root systems had been burnt, even though the tree itself looks fine, but there's no stability to it. They're still using pilot cars, and I think you're going to continue to see that to some point until they feel more comfortable. But it's one of those situations we just have to understand. We're not at normal. We won't be back to normal. So you can't drive like it's a graded highway. I mean, it is a damaged facility that's going to need to be rebuilt in many cases, in many places, I should say.
In the midst of all of this, dealing with the long-term recovery and trying to connect people together, all of that, this is further complicated by the COVID-19 situation.
It is, absolutely. And that's one of those scenarios that we've dealt with here because as many of the smaller rural communities have, have determined, you know, because they are their own pod or cluster of residents and families, coming into a more metro area has really changed, you know, the outlook of how you need to approach stuff. And the clearly, you know, when we're dealing with this in the middle of a pandemic, it's just like one more thing to deal with. But it's very big that we do deal with it, or we're going to see more people being infected. and that's just not going to be, you know, good for anyone.
All right, a lot ahead. Have you been having any meetings as a lawmaker specifically related to the wildfire situation, maybe virtually?
Absolutely. You know, trying to position ourselves as to those who have been impacted to make certain that our voices are being heard for our constituents. And I've already been pushing my caucus for a emergency special session so we can start doing some of the framework. Unfortunately, at this point, it looks like the governor and leadership is not willing to do this until after the election. And to me, I'm going like, why are we waiting? You know, this is something we should do. We could have done last week when we had legislative days, and hopefully we'll do it soon.
All right, State Senator Floyd Przanski, out of time for now. Thanks for being on.
Kyle, thank you very much. Have a good afternoon.
1258 at News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.